Order. Order. The House will come to order straight away. Order.
The budget debate resumed after dinner on Wednesday night with a contribution from Labour's Sue Moroney.
This is the third budget of this particular government in a time of worldwide global economic recession, and still, third budget in, we still have no plan for economic growth. We don't have a plan for economic growth, but we have a prediction for economic growth. How's that? We have a prediction based on shonky figures of that suddenly we're going to have next year 4% economic growth. But guess what? Last year's budget predicted that as well, and it never happened then. And it was predicted the year before that, and it never happened then. With this government, it's always going to be around the corner. It's always going to be next year. But how can it be when there is no plan for growth in the budget that has been delivered?
Sue Moroney was followed by National's Louise Upton, who agreed with the Labour List MP on just one point.
It is great to be able to stand in this House and speak in the budget debate of this government's third budget.
Predictably, the opinion of National's Taupō MP on her government's third budget then diverged sharply from Sue Moroney's.
This is a sensible, responsible and balanced budget. Clearly a budget that suits the times we are in.
Hear, hear.
Louise Upton also had a theory on Sue Moroney's complaint about the apparent lack of a plan.
The members of the opposition tend to forget the fact that there is a plan. I don't think they actually probably would recognise one because they haven't seen one before. In 9 years, they didn't have one. But anyway, I want to go back and...
Then it was down to the crossbenchers and the Greens' Catherine Delahunty.
The budget, Mr Speaker, seems like a long time ago now, that dreadful day when we sat here staring at each other with those blue documents. It's amazing what's happened since. It seems to have been out there in the community, and I seem to have been in meetings constantly discussing it. And it's interesting hearing Louise's speech, because Sue Moroney, Louise Upson and myself have been in a lot of meetings talking about education, and people don't seem quite as happy as she might have wished. It was a very calculated budget. It was definitely very calculated, and it pushed the middle-class people of this country right to the edge of their voting tolerance, but not over the edge, because they have further privatisation of state assets on the books. They were quite careful to say that that would happen later. So it was interesting to think about the budget in terms of what we were paying for and how we are going to pay for tax cuts to the top 13% of this country, because although the previous speaker claims that the lower income people benefited hugely, I'm not sure that 25 cents an hour for people on the minimum wage can be described as a wonderful relief to their financial problems.
Back to the National side and their member for Taranaki King Country, Shane Arden.
What I intend to do tonight is draw the comparison between Labor's vision for New Zealand and that of the key government's budget, which we've just been debating tonight. First of all, Mr Speaker, let's have a look at where we can grow the economy. And the real irony of those comments when we last debated this issue about dairy farmers not paying enough tax is that the only way that we can grow this economy, Mr Speaker, is to grow our export sector. That is the only way. There is no other way. There is no magic bullet. We can't pay for the educational aspirations that the Green member spoke of. We can't pay for the extra police that the Minister spoke of. We can't pay for any of the things that I'm sure the whole House would be united on unless we have a strong and growing dynamic export sector. And the only way that you can get a growing dynamic export sector is to have competitive tax rates.
Finally, a subject everyone could agree on, from National's Chief Whip, Chris Tremain.
While I don't ever pretend to or to rise to the level of humour or ability to tell a joke that Mr Carter will ever was able to do, I certainly respect particularly his final comments about being a man for the people. And I think if there's anything about John Carter that will be remembered in this House and throughout New Zealand is that he was a man of the people, and certainly a man that I admired. He was a good man.
Chris Tremain there, the government's chief whip, with one of many tributes in the budget debate for National's long-serving MP John Carter, who will resign next month to become High Commissioner to the Cook Islands. He has already resigned from his ministerial portfolios, which have been taken over by Craig Foss. I'm Tom Fruin, and this program is brought to you with funding from the Office of the Clerk.